good afternoon. Summer is here. Now, I don't mean the weather. I don't mean it's June. I mean that peach milkshakes are back on the menu at Chick-fil-A. Good one, huh, Dave? Man, I tell you. I passed by it on my way in the studio, and I was like, I had to find a place to turn around. I said, I know what. I'll get Dave. He'll want one, and that means I can stop. So, yeah, the peach milkshakes are back, and they're just as good as ever. So I'm sure if you're riding somewhere around, you can see that red and white Chick-fil-A sign whip in there and get you one. They are good. Like I said, welcome to another afternoon to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. I'll be your host for the next hour. We got a great hour. We got a calendar event starting up here in just a few minutes. We've got Don Artman from Grady's Great Outdoors is going to be on to tell us about a pretty cool event they've got coming up down there at Grady's in a couple of weeks. Bottom of the hour, I guess third segment, come back. We got Anthony Gagliardi doing another segment with him. It's amazing how quick those segments come around. But he's doing well on the FLW Tour this year. Going to get an update from him. And then the last segment, we just got a bunch of stuff to go through. So buckle up, hang on, it's going to be a good show. You can listen to this show right there on your FM dial at 94.5. You can go to the conservativetalk945.com website. Click the Listen Live link on the right-hand side of the page. You can get the 94.5 Conservative Talk 94.5 free app for your phone or tablet. And you can find Woods and Water on Facebook. We're on Instagram, hashtag Woods and Water SC Radio. And, yeah, I'm resurrecting the Twitter thing. Can't believe that. Evidently, something happened with the population thing we were doing by posting Instagram. It got turned off on the Twitter side, so I've done that. I'm not going to Twitter to do it. It's just kind of an afterthought. So, anyway, you can find us all over the place. And the website where you get to go and listen to the podcast if you missed the live show on Saturdays. And with that, since it was such a full show, let's get to the calendar events. Something near and dear to my heart is airplanes. And I actually gave Joey for Weekend Pulse one of them. But I kept this one because this one's just a fun one. Today and tomorrow, and it's probably too late for you to get up there today, but tomorrow at the Hendersonville Airport, which is, you know, just across the state line up there, they've got the just plain fun airfare and fly-in. It's a good one. Plane rides, car show, concessions, souvenirs, kids can ride around the ornithopter. They got their museum open and all. Go up there and take a ride in the Stearman. Now, if they still got the same one, it's a silver one with kind of black cowling on the hood. That's a 450-horsepower Stearman. Do not tell the pilot that you've flown before, because I did, and he got pretty put me back in my seat more than a few times, which is kind of fun. Wing overs and, you know, tight pylon turns and all that was fun. So go up there, and if you've never been up in an airplane, they've got, you know, Cessnas and that sort of thing, kind of for the just the mediocre ride around. But you want to do a good one, go up there and get in the Stearman. So that's today and tomorrow. Also today and tomorrow, Saluda River Rally down at Dolly Cooper Park in Powdersville. Like I said, today is probably too late. Tomorrow, they've still got a lot of stuff going on. Don's going to fill us in on more of that when he comes on, so I'll let him. Yeah, I'll save that for him. Camp Woody. I don't know if any of you remember South Carolina Waterfowl Association. Started back in 1995. You know, we're on a quest here for good outdoor camps for our kids to go to this summer. Well, Camp Woody has got a bunch of them. Man, they actually started May 31st, and they run all the way through August 6th. There's different levels. Actually, I got a hold of the camp director. He will be with us next week on the show to tell us more about it. But if you still haven't gotten your kid into an outdoor camp for this summer, haven't heard any of you to like so far, I've got Camp Woody coming up. I've also got Glendale Outdoor Leadership School, which is going to be on next week, and they're going to talk about their day camp. So you can go to the Camp Woody. Actually, it's not called Camp Woody anymore. But if you Google Camp Woody, it'll come up for you, and you can get all the information there. But, you know, get your kids out there to these outdoor camps. It's a lifetime in a week at summer camp. At least that's the way I always looked at it. From the South Carolina Sportsman's website, news release. It's a DNR news release. You can go to the Department of Natural Resources and get this too. The Department of Natural Resources, in conjunction with the South Carolina Trappers Association and Clemson Extension Office, is going to host a Coyote Trapping and Management Workshop at the Blackstock Gymnasium on 228 School Road in Blackstock on June the 9th. They've had these going on since early spring. Workshop begins at 5 p.m. and ends at 9 p.m. Previous trapping experience is not required, but everyone attending will be expected to set traps and participate with the group, hot or cold, rain or shine. So this is a hands-on trapping workshop for individuals who want to learn to manage coyotes. Cost is $15. You can register at the DNR website or call 803-840-6124. From the Charleston County Parks and Rec website, they send me an email every few weeks, and this one just looked really good since a lot of people are heading to the coast for vacation this summer. Calling all junior naturalists. Are you a kid aged 8 to 12? Do you love the outdoors? Do you think playing at the beach is awesome? Can you spot a dolphin? If you answered yes to any of these questions, our junior naturalist samplers are for you. Throughout the summer, we'll dive into fun, hands-on exploration of your natural world. June the 12th is Marine Mammal Maniacs. June 26th, Beach Night Hike. July 17th is Loving Loggerheads. And August 7th, From Flowers to Fashion, Join Your Old Man by the Sea. I don't know what that means. And then on June 14th, get a jump start on your Father's Day celebrations at a special fishing tutorial at the Mount Pleasant Pier. Dads, granddads, uncles, big brothers, everyone will love it. Again, that's the Charleston County Parks and Rec website for more information on those programs. They've actually got a whole list of them going on this summer. I'll get to more of them as I have time. I hate to get bogged down too much in a place that I really enjoy going, but sometimes it happens. From the NRA website, Darlington County Friends of the NRA are going to have their banquet on June the 13th. June 13th at 6 o'clock. That's the Darlington Moose Lodge. You can go to the NRA website, click on events in my state. Tickets you can purchase online. $35 single, couple is 50, and couple is 60. Table for eight is 300. South Carolina State Parks, we mentioned the loggerhead sea turtles are here. Actually, some of the nests are starting to hatch right now. Loggerhead Sea Turtle Walk. This is Edisto Beach State Park, June the 1st through the 31st, every Tuesday and Thursday from 9 to 11, June the 13th through the 28th on Saturday from 9 to 11, and July 11th through the 26th on Saturday. It's loggerhead sea turtles, a mysterious and beautiful visitor to our South Carolina coast. Our program explores the life cycle of the sea turtle, challenges to conservation, and how you can help save our state reptile. Following a 45-minute presentation, participants will go on a guided nighttime beach walk about 3 miles for a chance to witness a nesting loggerhead sea turtle. Sounds pretty cool. You can go to the state park's website. Actually, you can go to Edisto Beach State Park website and get more information on that. Cabela's, any store. This one's from Greenville, but any store on June the 13th. It's going to have a Trailblazer Outdoor Adventure Day from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. 10 to 2 p.m., fishing funds for kids and family. Cast a line in our pond to see what you can catch. Families can keep what they catch. Camping, how a kid can have fun outdoors. That's at 11. Hiking, a great way to blaze new trails, is at noon. Hunting, how can kids experience the thrill of the hunt, is at 1 o'clock. Outdoor cooking, food, fun food for all ages. They also have a youth BB gun range from 10 to 2. Try your aim with our outdoor BB range. That's at Cabela's. There's one here in Greenville. I think there's one in Fort Mill now. I think there's one down near Augusta. So if you're looking for some fun things to get out there and do, there's a start for you. There's a whole lot more than that. And as I continue to roam around the internet, I continue to find more and more stuff to do. And as always, I'll put that up on the Facebook page, have the event, date, time, and location. And a link to the website. As always, check those before you go, just in case weather or something else has come into play and they've had to postpone something. So anyway, there's the calendar. We've got our Don's already on the line holding on for the beginning of the next segment. So hang on, we're going to hear it from Don Artman. He's at Grady's Great Outdoors. Don likes to talk like the rest of us, so I'm sure you're going to have a good time. They got a pretty cool thing coming up on the 16th. I'll tease you a little bit. So hang on to the other side. We'll be back. A And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Like I said at the beginning of the show, we got a full one today. And on the line with us right now, we got Don Artman from Grady's. Don, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Man, thanks for having me on today.
You are most welcome. I almost gave it away, and I think I actually did say something about it last week, but I just teased him with a date. Right now, you're out in the field. You're not actually at Grady's, and we'll get to that in a minute. But tell us what's on the calendar coming up down at Grady's in like a week and a half.
On Tuesday, the 16th of June, we're going to get an opportunity to have Casey Ashley at Grady's from 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday the 16th. Casey is doing this as more of a fan-based night sponsored by Grady's. And it's going to be a lot of fun, and we want everybody to come out and enjoy it. And we're going to have some Bassmaster Classic T-shirts that if people wanted to purchase, you can be able to pick them up and get Casey to sign them, and it's going to be awesome.
It sounds like it's going to be. I hate. I'm going to miss it. This is
it's going to be a great event. Casey and I go way back, even way before he was even fished the Elite 50 Tour.
Well, I know you've been around Grady's for a long time, but go ahead. Tell us something about Casey from way back when.
Well, you know, I've known Casey for a long time, and, you know, some people may know about it, but I fished with Casey on a couple of different occasions, and the neat thing about Casey is that he's genuine. He's hometown. He is what he is, and one heck of a singer.
He has actually
a standing contract in Nashville to go sing, and I asked him about it one time, and he said, "Man, there's too many fish to catch. I don't have time to sing. I can sing later."
He can sing, and as I've heard and seen him on YouTube, sings between his tour stops.
Well, not only that, but one of the cool things is that the very first tournament that he ever won was up on Smith Lake several years ago, and they asked him to sing the national anthem. He sang the national anthem at the Smith event, Smith Lake event, and he won. And then from that point forward, the rest of the guys didn't want him to sing the national anthem. Actually, he sang it at the Bassmaster Classic.
So
we
kind of
I don't think them boys want him singing.
No. In fact, we were talking about that the other day while we were at Grade. Is that you could barely see part of his mouth and a little bit of his eyes.
Yeah, he's a heck of a nice guy. Comes from a great, strong, well-developed family. I mean, he's the real deal.
Has winning the Classic changed him in your opinion?
Not that that I've talked to him. No, I mean he's as humble as it. Now I tell you that what has changed him in the Classic.
I know what's coming here.
He's busier than a one-legged man, running around like crazy, all over the country. But that the next year of his life is going to be kind of hectic. So,
yeah.
But he is what he is. And I've ran into him on a couple of cases, and a lot of times when he comes in to get his truck worked on in town, he doesn't want to sit down there in the lobby. They bring him up to Grady's, and we chat around. One day we were standing there, actually, and Casey and I were sitting there chatting in one aisle, and it was just like three or four of us in the whole deal. And,
right.
And they actually had that hidden lake where Casey was actually on the television, and we had this customer over on the other side of the rod rack looking up at the TV, looking at Casey, looking up at the TV. And I looked over and I said, "Yeah, that's him. Come on over and say hi."
Yeah, I know he's busy because he's been a little hard to get, and I can understand why. He is,
yep.
Boy,
we're just so excited to be able to have him at Grady's, Great Outdoors down in Anderson on the 16th, and we want to have everybody, encourage everybody to come down and get an autograph, get a picture, and he's going to have the Bassmaster Classic trophy with him as well. That's
there
another thing that's going to be neat.
There you go. Well, on one hand, I hate him, I'll miss it. On the other hand, I got my picture of Casey and the trophy. Nobody wants to see me anyway, so I just got him in the trophy the night he won it. So that was really cool. But it's neat that he's hasn't lost that hometown bond, you know.
He does, and he does, and he's just if you meet him today, he's just the same Casey as he was several years ago when he was fishing the BFL.
So there you go.
He just drives a little nicer truck.
Probably got a few more tax problems too.
Yeah, probably does. Probably does. And it's really kind of cool. But he's not even doing this with any of his sponsors, even though he's sponsored with Costa Del Mar, and with us being one of the largest Costa dealers in the state of South Carolina. he's doing this for the fans.
Yep.
He's doing this for hometown. That's what that shows you what KC is.
There you go. There you go. Now, I teased him a little bit. Tell us where you are today.
Well, actually, today I'm up at the Saluda River Rally up here at Dolly Cooper, at the Dolly Cooper Event Center, and we've had over 500 people coming down, kayaking down the river, and it's been an awesome day. And they're actually going to have another float tomorrow at 1 o'clock from here down about 8 miles down the river, and so we're actually going to participate. And Ryan Harder is one of our assistant store managers.
Right.
My son, we're going to go down and. We're actually bringing our Hobie kayaks up here and loaded with fishing gear, and we're going to fish between here and for the next 8 miles while everybody else just paddles.
What are you going to catch?
Anything that swims, as the old saying goes.
Naughty head creek chubs to
flathead
catfish.
If it pull back on my rod reel, I'm gonna reel it in. That's what we're going to be the best at.
You were talking the other day, and you were talking about this Sunday float that you got going on. Said you're going to be running circles around the other guys with your Hobie. Fill us in a little bit on those Hobie catamaran, those Hobie kayaks.
And I tell you what, the Mirage kayak, you actually can pedal a Mirage kayak 20% faster you can paddle. I had a customer walk in the store the other day who has another brand kayak with a trolling motor on it. And he came in and talking to me, and he said, Don, he said, I want to see this pro angler. He said, I had a little small trolling motor. Electric trolling motor on my kayak, and this guy passed me in his Hobie. He said, I got to see what this is all about. And the neat thing about it is that one of the things we talked about too is we have a kayak demo night.
Yeah, tell us
every
about
Monday
that too.
Every Monday night at Darwin Wright Park, that's a free event. So anybody just give us a call and let us know you're coming. And you can test out the Hobie, and we can test out the Old Town kayaks, and we've got, you know, set on tops. We've got it all. We've got you covered, and we can introduce you to the kayak and give you some training and explain these boats to you. I mean, one of the things that I tell everybody is that it's kind of like my preacher says, we smoke in what we sell it. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
I mean, the guys at Grady's are you know, we practice what we preach. And I mean, the guys that reload, sell reload stuff, we reload. We hunt. We fish. We bike. We got a huge bike department.
You do.
And I mean, it's. I mean, we do. Reason Grady's been in business for 54 years. It's a one family-owned store. It's a Christian-based store that's been around since 1961. And the thing that we pride ourselves on is our customer service and the fact that we practice what we preach. And we're out there on the water. We're kayaking. We're fishing. We're hunting. And we wear the clothes. I mean, if this was NASCAR, we'd be good because you know how those boys were sponsored by the Hobie.
Oh yeah.
All with my Columbia sportswear shirt.
That's it. That's what they wear at Grady's, by the way.
It's awesome stuff.
Where the park y'all do Monday evenings in? Where is that in Anderson?
That is Darwin Wright Park. If
okay.
you're coming, it's right off Highway 178. If you're coming in from Easley or Greenville, take Exit 21. You come out the QT, you go down the hill like you're going in towards Anderson.
Okay.
You come to a traffic light about 400 yards down, take immediate left and immediate right into the park.
Okay.
Some of the people may know where they had the Lights of Hope Christmas event where they have all the Christmas lights out there.
Okay.
It's the same area at the Darwin Wright Park.
I gotcha. Well, besides coming to meet Casey and all that, what else can they do when they come to Grady's next week?
I mean, hey, listen, we got a huge, and if you're not signed up now, you need to get on, go to Grady's website, and it's probably going to be posted sometime next week. We're going to have a big, huge Father's Day event coming up. It's Deals for Dads, I think is what the name of the flyer is going to be, and there's going to be some, you know, dads coming up, you know, and
That's right.
You know, I tell people that Grady's is kind of like Toys R Us for big kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you can just about find anything you want there. But we've got some really great deals. We've got some bikes on sale. We've got a lot of stuff going on for dads and moms. You know, long time, everybody thought it was like a dad store, but I actually ran into a guy the other day, and I said, sir, is there anything I can help you with? He said, no, actually, I'm waiting on my wife.
Yes.
Because we have a lot of great lady stuff.
You do.
Well.
You do, and that's one of the plus things for y'all. You got a great women's selection of clothes and outdoor gear, too.
And footwear. We got some awesome ladies' footwear and everything. Across the board, we take care of everybody and that wants to be taken care of, and that's why they come to Grady's, because they know they're going to find what they want, and they're going to have people that know what they're talking about.
Great. Well, give us it one more time. Give us a date, place, time, and you know, phone number for Grady's and a website and all that.
Casey's going to be there Tuesday, June 16th from 5 to 7.
Okay.
You can go online at Grady'sOutdoors.com. You can also check us out. We have a Facebook, Grady's Facebook page. We have a gun shop at Grady's Facebook page. We got the fishing shop at Grady's Facebook page and the bike shop at Grady's Facebook page that mainly target our people. But our telephone number is 864-226-5283. We're open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 8. And, I mean, I'm telling you, we're closed every Sunday.
Gotcha.
And, so come see us, and we can take care of you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, Don. I appreciate Grady sponsoring a community event to get Casey out there where he can, you know, thank his hometown people for being behind him through that cold classic. Holy smoke. Still get chills when I think about that same time. That couple of days.
But, I had tears in my eyes when it happened.
But we appreciate
it. I really appreciate you having us on, and I know that you come to Grady's, and we want to invite everybody to come down and see what everybody else is talking about.
There you go. Don, you take care of yourself.
Man, call me if you need anything.
I do. Have fun tomorrow.
Oh, I will.
All right. Thanks, Don.
Thanks again. Yep. Bye-bye.
That's a pretty cool event coming up. Neil Paul over at Visit Anderson called me, a month or so ago and had something going on. And he told me, he said, yeah, we're trying to get this event together, but you can't say anything. And that's just wrong. You know, don't tell somebody like me that likes to talk a lot about something you can't talk about. So, but it's coming out. Casey's going to be there. It's going to be a great time. They're going to have the Bassmasters Classic, the t-shirts there for you to buy and have him sign. If you've got something at your house, you want him to sign, bring it, you know, a Bassmaster hat, just whatever, picture of Casey, he'll be glad to sign any of it. So there you have it. Put that one on. That's June 16th. Put that on your calendar to do. I was looking around here. This week is National Boating and Fishing Week. National Fishing and Boating Week, excuse me. I have it backwards everywhere I've been then. I put National Boating and Fishing Week. Anyway, June 16th, 6th through the 14th. And why go boating and fishing? Boating and fishing are fun, stress-relieving activities. Here are just a few reasons why you should get out on the water. De-stress. Boating is ranked as one of the top three of all stress-relieving activities. That is, if all your equipment is right. Connect with nature. 90% of Americans live within an hour of navigable water. Help conserve. The funds from your fishing licenses and boat registrations go towards the conservation of our natural aquatic areas. And in conjunction with that, a lot of states have a free fishing day during this week. South Carolina, we actually had one May the 25th, and the next one will be July the 4th. And those are resident only, but that's and most states have it somewhere loosely associated with National Fishing and Boating Week. Mentor or teach someone new to fish. Did you know that one of the main reasons people don't go fishing and boating is because no one has invited them? For a newcomer, fishing can feel like an intimidating activity without an experienced guide, but you can help change this. During National Fishing and Boating Week, or the next time you go fishing, take someone new, a child, a relative, a friend. Introduce somebody who doesn't have an invitation. Just what somebody needs to start a lifetime of love of fishing and boating. So, get out there. They got a bunch of cool things. Friends don't let friends miss fishing trips. Fishing time equals family time. Kids don't remember their best day of watching TV. So get out there while you can. Hang on, we got Anthony on the other side. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Been a good show so far, and we're going to continue being carrying on with a good show with another segment of Defending the Cup with Anthony Gagliardi. Anthony, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good. About where are you now?
I'm getting close to Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay.
A couple hours out.
Anthony's headed to the next FLW tour stop at Lake Chickamauga. Before we get to that one, you had a good tour stop down at Eufaula in Alabama, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I was pleased with Eufaula. Wish I'd have made the top 10 cut, but anytime that you can make a top 20, I think that's pretty good. But all in all, it's a good tournament.
For those of you out there listening and wonder what he just meant by the top 20 and top 10 cut, when they start out these tournaments, there's goodness gracious, what, 100 and something people fishing them, Anthony?
Yeah, I think we're around, we're close to 150. So I think we might be a few shy of 150. We're somewhere in that ballpark.
And what happens when you fish a Thursday and Friday, and Friday night after the weigh-in, they cut it down to the top 20. And then after the weigh-in Saturday night, they cut it down to the top 10, and you made it to fish on Saturday, which is, it's good for your points. It's good for your pocket, too.
Exactly.
Those 3 days, tell us, how'd you catch them? I mean, the same way you were catching them in practice, did that carry through the weekend?
For the most part, I spent most of my practice, I probably half my practice hour and half of the beef, and I knew that probably the beef pattern was going to be the better way to go, and that's how I ended up catching most of my fish. I caught pretty much everything I caught out of isolated brush piles, and I had a few, I caught a few fish cranking on some, actually a couple little stump fields, but for the most part, everything was in, I'm going to say, 12 to 16 foot of water on isolated brush.
You finished 14th, and that moved you up to 17th in the Angler of the Year standings. That's pretty good. You want to be in the top 10 at the end of the year, right?
Yeah, I'd like to be in the top 10. Actually, I'd like to, if I could make it inside the top 15 to finish the year, I'd be happy with that. Top 15 in the points gets an invite to the Florida Texas Bass Classic each year, so I'd like to make it back to that for this next year. So that's my goal now, just to stay there. If I can keep myself in the top 15, I'll be more than happy.
And they just had that, what, last weekend, weekend before last?
Well, yeah, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
On month four. Yeah, I don't think that fishing wasn't as good as it normally is there, but it's still pretty good. Anytime you get a chance to fish another tournament for a lot of money, doesn't matter where it is, it's worth the spot.
I got you. Well, it's only two spots away from you.
Yeah, I'm right there. You know, I'm right within reach. The last two tournaments we've got coming up, I think. Yeah, they're usually lakes and styles that fit and suit me well, so that's why I can keep them on up.
What kind of lake is Chickamauga?
Chickamauga is the Tennessee River.
Okay.
The Tennessee River Lake, and most of the time there's a pretty good amount of current, so you got a lot of fish that are caught offshore on ledges. Just about all the lakes on the Tennessee River are known for their ledge fishing, and Chickamauga is pretty much, it falls right in line with all the rest of them.
Now, when you say ledge fishing, give us a little explanation of that one.
Well, I mean, basically, what it's just the way it sounds. I mean, you got ledges that are formed, you know, from old creek channels, or even the old river channel.
Okay.
Before they filled the lake, and so there's all the fish that are up shallow, you know, earlier in the year when they spawn on these lakes with all this current, they like to pull out and position themselves on those ledges where they have access to deeper water, but at the same time they can move right up on the tops of the ledges and roam about and feed, and that's where most of the cover structure seems to be situated, on the tops of these ledges. So you know, they like to be out there in that deeper water, or at least close to that deeper water, but still have that access to the tops of this lake.
You be throwing crankbaits, swim baits. What do you think?
Yeah, a little bit of that, a little bit of both probably, and some soft bass if you can catch fish, you know, on a big heavy jig, big football jig.
Okay.
Or something like a mock jig. But yeah, I will. I mean, I'll definitely throw a crankbait and, you know, big spoon, all that good stuff. But, you know, it tends to be real good on that type of fish nowadays.
And I met you a little bit after lunch up on Highway 11. Yeah, you gave me one of those rods. That thing is sweet, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But you got your dad with you.
Yeah.
This tournament. That's got to be pretty cool in and of itself. But let me ask you this. Is he a critic or a fan?
Oh, no, he's a little bit of both. It depends. More so a fan, I would say. Yeah, he's been traveling with me for a long time now. He's only missed a handful of tournaments. We have our fair share of arguments out on the lake, like any father and son. But we have a good time through this.
That's great. Now, when we met up, I was looking for a rat boat, a rat truck, and you're kind of riding around incognito, which is kind of begs the question: is there an advantage, you think, to not attracting a big crowd out on the water when you're fishing these tournaments?
Not so much anymore. It used to be, you know, back when the rat boats first started, you first started seeing them, you did attract a lot of attention. But now it seems like there's so many of them out there now, people just
Yeah, they don't even think twice about seeing a rat boot. It's just like any other bird out there. So I don't have much of an advantage being in disguise.
Okay. Well, I know the FLW is going to wrap a boat for the college guys at USC, and I should be able to find them okay. But, if you don't do something to that boat, you going to let me put a GPS locator on it for the cup?
Yeah, well, I'll put some type of tracking device on there for you, make it easy for you.
Good, because I will not be able to find you, trust me. But going back to the rod, now, so this is a level rod. It's a 7.2. Man, that thing is light, and those guides are so small. You know, in the 80s when I was fishing, I mean, all the guides were really nice and big, and except right. for the top two or three.
Yeah.
But even your spinning rod, you had two transition guides, I guess you'd say, and then even on your spinning rod, you were using those really, really tiny guides.
There's some reason behind that, and those actually aren't the smallest guides that you can get. I mean, those aren't even considered micro guides, which a lot of guys out there are using micro guides. I've used them a lot, and I don't see the need for them, and so I wanted to kind of get the best of both worlds with my guides, and so, you know, there's advantages to the smaller guys, and there's disadvantages, and there's advantages to larger ones as well, and so I went with something I felt was going to give me the best of both worlds, and, you know, there is some added distance, you know, by reducing your guide size, which you wouldn't think is the case, and it took me a long time to realize that, but, you know, the less play, we call it line flap is what it is, the less flap you have in that line, and the more you can get that line to travel in a true straight line without any variation side to side, the farther you'll be able to throw a bait. And so that's one of the reasons that smaller guides tend to do, you know, they tend to cast a little bit better. Obviously, they're harder to string up, and there's some other things in there too that, you know, that they can provide you. But with the spinning rod, especially, that's one that when people see it, they're going to be kind of it looks funny. It just well, I'm
it
not
does.
Say it looks funny. It looks different. It looks different than what they've seen. But you know, I tested a lot of different guide setups, and that one was the best casting guide setup on a spinning rod that I could find. And not only that, it just yeah, there's an advantage when you're fighting a fish, when you're trying to land a fish, when you have those smaller guys keep the line closer to the blank, and I also have a lot of guys. That was one of the things I wanted to make sure I have a lot of guys on the rod. So most of my rods are going to have 12 guys plus the tip top.
Yep.
And so it just, you know, you don't have any line ever touching your blank. You know, on a casting rod, that's important. On a spinning rod, that never comes into play. But the more guys you have, just the better control you're going to have, and it actually will feel. You can take a rod that's a little bit lighter in power and put more guides on it, and it'll feel like it's heavier. Hmm. It'll feel like it's more powerful is what I'm saying.
Okay.
It gives you a little bit of added power having more guides.
And, folks, this is an engineer talking, so he knows what he's talking about besides the fact he's a fisherman. So what's your outlook for Chickamauga? What do you think?
It's gonna be good. I mean, Chickamauga's got a lot of big fish in it, and they should be all really starting to get out there. And really setting up on those ledges now, so I feel like it'll be, you know, there'll be lots of 20-pound stringers weighed in, in my opinion. So hopefully, this has always been one of my favorite ways, you know, to fish and to catch fish is being out there, you know, in that deeper water, you know, throwing a big crankbait or, you know, a big jig. So hopefully I'll have to get on something to, you know, catch a couple of those, you know, 6 or 7 pounders.
That'll make a day, won't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you can catch one tipper like that, usually on a lake like that, cause you're going to have a lot of quality fish mixed in. So if you get one big one, usually pretty good. But if you get a couple of them, it'll push you right up there.
Well, we'll be following along, folks. If you want to follow along while they're fishing, you can go to the FLW website. They've got updates during the days of fishing. They got the live weigh-ins at night and the afternoon. So we'll be tracking you, and good luck.
Thank you, Roger. I appreciate it.
All right, Anthony. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, he was good enough to offer me a rod, one of his rods the other day, and I've got a trip coming up here shortly, actually going up fish some cold water, which I've never fished before, other than wintertime water here in South Carolina. So I sent him a message and said, hey, if you still got that rod, I'd love to get it from you and take it with me. And he said, sure. Headed up 26, so we met over at Highway 11, and it was really funny because he pulled up and it was just a, you know, his black truck and just a regular Ranger boat except for those two big power poles, and kind of scratched my head, and I said, well, there's no wrap on the boat. It's going to make it hard to find in the cup, that's for sure. Anyway, pretty good show so far, I think. Come back and got some news that's probably not going to make some people happy. A lot of people aren't going to be happy. So hang on. We'll be back on the other side. Thing goes fast when you got good people on. I'd like to thank Don for coming on from Grady's. Anthony, as always, is a great segment. Just as, you know, two really good guys. We're sitting there on Anthony. We're hanging out beside his boat and talking about smallmouth fishing, the Broad River, and we're going to try to get up a trip next month with a couple of guys to go up there and float part of the Broad. He's like, can you teach me anything about broad fishing the Broad? And I'm like, teach you something about fishing the Broad. That just somehow does not compute. But we'll see if we can get him in on a trip. You'd think with being a fisherman, he's done all this. But, you know, he stays so busy with other things, and he is a busy fella. Anyway, this last segment's just going to be a catch-all. Some of these stories are new. Some of them are kind of getting a little age on them. I want to get as many of them out of the way as I can. And a lot of them are going to make people scratch their head, and, you know, you need to do some more research on these on your own time. I'll get it put out there, and then you can follow it. And this first one doesn't necessarily affect South Carolina, but it's a trend that we're seeing in, I want to say, heavy-handed federal regulations, so to speak. And this story is in Florida. Public locked out of Biscayne National Park. Now, Biscayne National Park is south of Miami, Florida. It's, 10,000 acres is the part they have just said can't go in anymore. And the story out of Washington, D.C., and this is put out by the American Sports Fishing Association. Today, the National Park Service announced its final general management plan for Biscayne National Park. Despite commitments made by Biscayne National Park officials to work with stakeholders in the state of Florida to explore less restrictive options, the GMP includes a marine reserve eliminating fishing and severely restricting boating in over 10,000 acres of the park's most popular and productive marine waters. America's recreational fishing community is disheartened by the National Park Service decision to implement a marine reserve at Biscayne National Park, said Jeff Angers, president of the Center for Coastal Conservation. We understand the importance of protecting our natural resources and the delicate balance needed to ensure that the anglers and boaters are both able to enjoy these public waters. However, the NPS has shown little interest in compromise, and today's announcement confirms a lack of desire to include the needs of park users and stakeholders in important decisions such as this. They've been working on this for a few years. They've had lots of input. Today's announcement confirms that the Biscayne National Park officials never had any real interest in working with stakeholders or the state of Florida to explore compromise options, said Mike Leonard, Ocean Research Policy Director for the American Sport Fishing Association. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, one of the nation's leading fisheries management agencies, has stated that a marine reserve is far too restrictive and that other management measures can achieve resource goals while still allowing for public use. The only conclusion is that one can draw from this decision is that the public is simply not welcome at Biscayne National Park. And this is, like I said, this is Florida. But you don't see moderation when these things come down. They just eliminate it, as with a lot of the no fishing zones off our own coast. And then this one from the South Carolina Sportsman magazine, it's a story from June the 5th. And Taylor, feds to fishermen, no red snapper season in 2015. This is another federal, saying in federal waters, you won't have a snapper. After several years of limited weekend fishing, the South Atlantic Fisheries Management Council announced today there will be no red snapper season in federal waters in 2015 because the total number of fish removed from the population in 2014 almost doubled the allowable harvest. And if you talk to anyone about the NAMFC, at least the offshore people, you don't get very many looks of appreciation. Let's put it that way. Last year, you had 2 3-day weekends and a 2-day weekend in July, a 1-fish daily creel limit, and allowable harvest catch of 106,000 fish. And they took 206,000, which means that everybody went out in those 8 days and caught their one red snapper. NOAA Fisheries will look at the fishery again next year to determine if there will be a season for red snapper in South Atlantic waters in 2016. And if you talk to the recreational offshore guys, they'll tell you that the feds are not changing their model. They are going to the same places with the same results. When you've got new offshore reefs being constructed, new live bottom, and trust me, when you go offshore, and if you do, and you bottom bump, you know, 160 feet or something, you're going to catch red snapper. They're there. And this has always been a sticking point for the last 4 or 5 years as they've come in and taken away more and more of the season, more and more of the bag limit. We're going to get a hold of some people, and because, you know, like I said, it's done. You're not going to change this for this year. And we've got some good people from South Carolina on the advisory board, and we're going to get a hold of them. We're going to get him in here to talk about that a little bit more. But like you had Biscayne Bay, you've got some of the same issues going down into the Keys. You've got California wanting to ban, through the EPA, ban lead in fishing. You know, lead jigs, lead weights. And they say as California goes, so does the rest of the nation. So you got to be on your toes. You got to stay informed. If you're a hunter or fisherman out there, and heaven knows, you ought to see the stack of papers I've got on the federal gun when they tried to outlaw the AR-15 ammunition. And I didn't even want to get into that because it's so political. But if you're out there and you're an outdoorsman, whether you're a hiker, fisherman, hunter, camper, whatever, you got to stay informed on this stuff. And the tendency is to say, well, it's the government. They know best. Well, the last thing you want to hear is, I'm from the government. I'm here to help. And that's what they're doing. They're helping, or thinking they're helping, but they're not. So just stay informed. If that's one thing you can take away. And even if you're not worried about no red snapper season in 2015, but yet you like to go down to the coast and fish for redfish, well, when they're done with this, they don't have to worry about red snapper anymore. And their goal is to keep people from fishing and keep things pristine, in quotation marks, since you can't see that I'm doing that on the air for you. They're going to start whittling away to everything else that we enjoy doing, because that means they just don't have to manage it anymore. And then one this is the coup de grace to the whole thing. And there was actually a story from August of last year on the same exact issue that I'm going to bring up right now that we covered here. It's just one more example of, excuse me if this is not political, you know, fourth segment politics, but it is a little bit, is government s'mores. Michelle O's Food Police reinventing the campfire treat. And I want to encourage everybody right now to go to Ingles, Publix, Milo, buy graham crackers, Hershey's chocolate bars, and marshmallows, and do s'mores tonight. Because the piece of chocolate bar and marshmallow, key ingredients in the s'mores, are just too unhealthy for Michelle Obama's food police at the USDA, and they want you to eliminate them. Now, last year, they wanted you to replace the chocolate with strawberries. This year, they've added something else, and it goes like this. Thank goodness the feds have ISIS on the run and can now focus on more important things, like all those portly campers getting tubbier because they haven't sample the bureaucrat's latest creation. This quick, easy, and mouthwatering recipe is a perfect afternoon snack for the early days of summer, the USDA writes. Kids will love that they can make it themselves, and parents will love that it's inexpensive and healthy treat. And what they proposed is chocolate is replaced with strawberries, while the marshmallow makes way for yogurt. Low fat, of course. Get out of here. The final step in the direction is to enjoy immediately. Yeah, because that yogurt's going to melt on a hot day and get all over your clothes. And, you know, it's one thing to have yogurt on clothes. It's another thing to have chocolate and marshmallows on your clothes. Because those are like seconds. So heavenly days. You can take a banana and slice one side open, exposing the fruit, but leaving the peel intact. Slice the banana, add a few chocolate chips, then top with tiny marshmallows. I don't know what that is. Move away from s'mores last August. It's so funny, some of the comments. Don't you think it's funny that we're listening to someone with about the biggest caboose I've ever seen tell us how to eat healthy? Ooh. S'mores are a part of growing up. I guess Michelle never tasted chocolate and marshmallow until she was proud of America. We do not need her drivel on eating. Since she has a chef and a complete kitchen, perhaps when she leaves the White House, she can open a diner. I think of the little girls getting... I can't read that one. Oh, it goes on and on. Here's probably 8 or 9 pages here. But just really, and what you're going to hear is my reaction to it. I'm going to go home tonight and make s'mores. Kids, call me on the way home and tell me when I need to stop at the grocery store and pick up. We're going to have a fire in the backyard, and we're going to make double-decker s'mores. How's that sound? That's my reaction to it. Anyway, that's enough of the government for this week, but I had to get those out there. Along with the Boy Scouts not wanting to have water gun fights because it's too mean, please, don't desecrate s'mores with... Now, I tell you, if you took strawberries and put them in the mix, because, you know, you eat chocolate-covered strawberries. Now, that could be something else. I know we got strawberries at home. So, okay, cool. We're gonna add strawberries to our regular s'mores. That'll make them a little healthier. Oh, me. Okay, on to bigger and better things. Congratulations to Henry Smokehouse. Since 1991, Henry Smokehouse has been keeping Greenville supplied with top-notch pulled pork, ribs, and chicken. They cook Boston butts over hickory coals in a big metal-doored pit, then pull it by hand into long shreds. And yes, it's tender, juicy, and quite smoky. Whether you have it on a plate or on a sandwich, and along with a big mound of Henry's hand-cut French fries. And all the reason I say this is Southern Living has come out with their top 50 barbecue joints. And Henry's is number 29. So, part of that's because they got great French fries. Let's see. Newborn fawns. What to do when you find one? And we did a little bit of this last week, I think it was. Another story. Throughout most of the whitetail's range, fawns are being born. Predators, weather conditions can substantially reduce the odds of fawns surviving. In addition, well-meaning humans can often also reduce a fawn's chance for survival. If you find a fawn... leave it alone. Don't go pick it up. It's probably not lost. Mom leaves during the day and goes away so she doesn't compromise its hiding place. She'll be back. So if you see a little guy, spotted little guy, just leave him alone. It's tough. I never forget we were down at the old duck club down in Anderson, and there was one fawn. We were walking down a dike, and it was kind of grown up, and you see these two little ears pop up, and you're like, oh, there's a fawn. And he walked up to us. It was hard not to pet him because that's all you wanted to do was pet him. But we didn't. But he sniffed our hands. I mean, he's just right there. He's about as tall as my knee. But just leave him alone. Mom is somewhere around. And, he's not lost. He's not hurting in distress. And face it, I mean, even if he is, Mother Nature has a way of taking care of itself. So just leave him alone. Next week, I think we're going to have a couple more summer camps on Camp Woody. Goals, Glendale Aurora School. So tune in again next week. Get out there this week. Let's see, Chuck Norris. With all the fishing, Chuck Norris can drown a fish. It'd be kind of hard to do. Anyway, it's Chuck. He can do anything, right? Hey, have a great week. Get out there. Make the time to get out there. Summer is here. Get those kids out from behind all the technology. Get them outside. Be careful. Take the back roads. And don't forget the camera. See you next week.